A fabulous Friday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Happy New Year's Eve, and once again, season's greeting. On what has been a spectacular week for Ja Morant, the Grizzlies and Morant end their 2021 calendar year against the San Antonio Spurs. But why tonight and going forward in January, the Grizzlies are going to need some big contributions from their two bigs in Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. That and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, 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 hello. It's once again Sean Coleman here, credentialed media member with the Grizzlies. Been covering the Grizzlies now for over 4 years. Write for them over at Grizzly Bear Blues and talk about them here on Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. Of course, wherever you are, wherever you're listening or wherever you're watching, certainly hope you're having a great start to the last day of the 2021 calendar year. Hope 2022 is the best year yet. For all of us. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself right here at StatsSAC, and right here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button below. Let us know you enjoyed the show. Let others, you know, be able to find the show who enjoy good Grizzlies content, and overall just makes the experience of the show the best it could possibly be. You can also find the podcast free, available wherever podcasts are. Just go to Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. And so let's jump right into it. So the Grizzlies are going into tonight's game against the San Antonio Spurs with an 11-4 record for the month of December. And they also currently have a five-game lead, not only in the Southwest Division, but also a five-game cushion when it comes to remaining in the top six of the Western Conference playoff picture. 3.5 games, you know, separate fourth where the Grizzlies are and fifth where I believe it's the Clippers currently are right now. So the Grizzlies are in a very comfortable, very, very good position as far as their current playoff standings go or their current playoff aspirations go. But the thing about it is this, is that the Grizzlies also, just like almost every team in the NBA right now, the Grizzlies are continuing to struggle due to the amount of players that are being impacted by health and safety protocols. While Eve Pons has recently come off the Grizzlies injured list due to health and safety protocols, it was announced over the past 12 hours that both Xavier Tillman and Shaq Buchanan, unfortunately, who just signed one of the 10-day hardship contracts with the Grizzlies, he himself is now on health and safety protocol. So while Pons has come off, six current Grizzlies, Dillon Brooks, DeAnthony Melton, Jarrett Culver, Xavier Tillman, John Conchar, as well as Shaq Buchanan, they're all in health and safety protocols. We do get Santi Aldama back tonight, but the Grizzlies are going to need, you know, potential contributions now from Xavier Sneed, as well as Santi Aldama and others. Some players who we may not expect to usually even play in a game, they may have to step up. But thankfully, one of the things that has helped the Grizzlies here over the past week, you know, basically 2 weeks, they had that small three-game losing streak where they dropped games to both the Portland Trailblazers as well as the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple of weekends back. But thankfully, they've been able to come back and beat the Kings, beat the Suns, and now beat the Lakers. But the reason why the Grizzlies have been able to do that is because of the spectacular play of both Desmond Bane and Ja Morant. And all day long, you want Ja Morant and Desmond Bane to play like one of the best backcourts in the NBA. Nobody's encouraging them not to do that. Ja to play at an all-NBA level, Desmond Bane to continue to play at a level that makes him, in my opinion, the clear front runner for most improved player. But you're eventually going to find games in the near future where the Grizzlies are going to run into teams really putting an emphasis on stopping Bane as well as Ja Morant. So the other player that needs to certainly step up is Jaren Jackson Jr. But the issue is that Jaren, despite the Grizzlies' success overall, and despite the fact that Jaren has certainly been playing very well on defense, Jaren has been struggling quite a bit when it comes to his shot on offense. Yes, he has improved his ability to be more balanced scoring, and even though his three-point shot's not falling, he has been able to find some good looks from, you know, within the arc occasionally. But overall, over his past 10 games, Jaren Jackson Jr. is shooting 37% from the field. He's only shooting 19% from three. He is 8 for 41 from three over his past 10 games. Now, you want him to keep shooting all day long. That's the truth. You know, as I mentioned on Twitter the other day, the ability of Jaren for stretches at times to combine the quantity that he shoots with the quality of a shot when he's on, it's certainly an advantage. So you want him to keep taking threes all day long and especially getting high percentage looks. But the hope is that at some point those shots start to fall because they certainly have not been falling as of late. Jaren certainly has been struggling offensively. But thankfully, his other counterpart, Steven Adams, though it may not seem like he's scoring all that much, Steven Adams has improved quite a bit in terms of converting those second chance opportunities to points himself, being open as a pass option, as a sourced pass to down low. He's getting to the free throw line more often, obviously controlling the boards as well. But the crazy thing is this, is that with as much as Jaren has been struggling offensively, and the fact that Steven Adams himself is not necessarily a great scoring option, their defense, their ability on the boards, and just in general, their positive play overall in the month of December, when Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams have been on the court together, the Grizzlies have a 116 offensive rating, or this is over their past 15 games, which is December. The Grizzlies have a 116 offensive rating, a 101.6 defensive rating, good for a 14.4 net rating so far this month. So despite the struggles of Jaren Jackson Jr. on offense, the overall defense and the overall positive play of both of these players has certainly stood out and has been a big reason why the Grizzlies' starting lineup has continued to be quite productive, even with Dylan Brooks being out at times, even with Ja Morant being out at times. But with Ja and Desmond Bane doing a bit of the heavy lifting when it comes to the offense, you certainly would love for Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. to step up, because the other thing that stands out is that, for instance, tonight against a Spurs team that does not have a lot of size, the size of Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams on the boards, in the paint, Jackson Jr. from three as well on his own defense, it could certainly make all the difference in the world. Again, especially if Morant or Bane are limited due to the good defensive efforts, the improved defensive efforts of the Spurs. But consider the fact that starting out, like for instance, against the Nets, coming up on Monday, and we'll talk more about the Grizzlies' January schedule next week. But Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. as a combination could certainly be an advantage against a team like the Nets. They're going to have to show up when they face Evan Mobley and Jaren Allen against the Cavaliers next Tuesday, if both players are available. And then the Grizzlies wind up facing other teams going through the month, early part of January, where the combination of Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. can certainly be a key advantage. But Jaren's got to be able to find his shot. You would love for him to be able to find his shot, because if he can find his shot from three, and you can combine it with Desmond Bane's ability to shoot the three, you've got a pretty good shooting combination, one of the better young shooting combinations in the league, supporting the overall play of Ja Morant. And then you've got Steven Adams doing what he can do on defense and the boards. And then hopefully when Dylan Brooks comes back, you've got his defense. You've got a very well-rounded, balanced starting five if Dylan can come back healthy and Jaren Jackson Jr. can find his shot. But while Ja Morant and Desmond Bane are certainly doing an excellent job, and you would expect for them, you know, right now the Grizzlies need for them to score a combined 45 to 50 points on a nightly basis to really give the offense a solid basis to build off of. But if Jaren Jackson Jr. can find his shot and Steven Adams can continue his excellent play on defense and on the boards and converting some of those second chance points or second chance opportunities into points, that two big man combination of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams, the importance of it playing well, probably is going to continue to increase in terms of importance with how shorthanded the Grizzlies are due to health and safety protocols, but also with the tough schedule the Grizzlies have upcoming. But that schedule starts tonight against a very good Spurs team, at least from this past month. We'll get into the Spurs in just a moment, but before we do that, I want to talk about the Southwest Division. The Grizzlies are 3-2 versus the Southwest Division, but a key development in the Southwest Division has been a big boost to the Grizzlies' success so far this year. I'll explain in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to get to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is our title sponsor for today's show. And the thing about Prize Picks is it's the best source of daily fantasy sports that's out there today. It's a great opportunity for you not to have to sit here and worry about a bunch of different variables that can make your ability to profit off your knowledge hard to do. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under for their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. All of Prize Picks users that deposit and use the promo code NBA, they will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Go to prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Listen, we can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day, but make sure you check out Locked On Now as well. It's the instant reactions to everything that is going on around the sports world when it comes to the games being played. Myself, I've been on a few of the shows as of late with the Grizzlies' big victories over the Suns as well as the Lakers, but check out the Locked On Now show here on YouTube and free wherever you get your podcasts. Check out Locked On Now whenever you get the chance to get the latest on games going on as your second listen of the day after you make Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. So the Memphis Grizzlies, as Keith Parrish of Fast Break Breakfast had pointed out a few days ago, the Grizzlies right now are in a position when it comes to the Southwest Division that they hardly have been in before, right? They are 5 games up on the division, and if I'm correct, I believe that that is their biggest division lead in the history of the franchise. They're right now 5 games up on the Mavericks, 6.5 games up on San Antonio, 8.5 games up on New Orleans, and 11.5 games up on Houston. So the reason why that is significant is because even though the Grizzlies have been without Ja Morant, and yes, all teams around the NBA have been hurt by health and safety protocols, the Grizzlies have treaded water quite well. They've continued to win games. I've talked about it a few times this month, how one of the big keys about why this stretch of games where the Grizzlies have now gone, I believe, like 13 of their last 18 or something like that, you're just not going to find many teams that are going to win at that clip over that long of a stretch this season, basically a fourth of the season even. The point is that with the Grizzlies having that type of winning stretch, it allows for them to separate themselves from other teams that are struggling. And you're certainly seeing that when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks have obviously been without Luka Doncic some this month. They've been hit by health and safety protocols. Kristaps Porzingis' play, as well as his health, has been up and down. Jalen Brunson has certainly been a revelation this year. But when it comes to the Mavericks, they certainly have been a disappointment. They've struggled. However, the thing is this, is that we saw the same thing from the Mavericks last year. And then, you know, probably about a third of the way through the season, they were struggling. And then they just hit, you know, they just hit the fast forward button, and they were one of the best teams in the NBA, basically over the last 50 games of the season. You could easily see the Mavericks do that, especially if they make a significant trade. So the fact that the Grizzlies have the cushion that they have to work with right now, in terms of being 5 games up on the Mavericks, certainly is something. Now, I'm not saying the Mavericks can't come back and make up that much ground, but it's just going to be hard, especially if the Grizzlies continue to play at the level that they're playing. And as I mentioned on yesterday's episode, there's still a level to this Grizzlies team we probably have not seen yet, with the fact that Ja, Dylan, Desmond, and Jaren have not played well together. But the other thing that stands out about the Southwest Division is that though the other 3 teams, the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Pelicans, all started off the season looking like they were going to be clear lottery teams, looking like they were either going to need to once again enter a rebuild or in the midst of a rebuild, need to start a rebuild, all 3 of those teams have certainly had success this month, have played very well in December compared to how well they played in November. Now, at the end of the day, the Spurs right now are in that 10th spot in the play-in, and you have the Rockets and the Pelicans who are right now in the bottom 5 of the West. So it hasn't really changed their positioning in terms of the playoff positioning, you know, so far, but each of those 3 teams are playing better. However, the key thing about all this is that the Grizzlies are now potentially entering a stretch where there is a lot of certainty about them that you don't have with a lot of these other teams. Yes, there certainly are some intriguing talents on these other teams. Luka, obviously. Houston, after the incredible draft that they had. Obviously, if Zion can come back healthy, the Pelicans do have some other intriguing talents as well. And then San Antonio has shown this month they still can be more than competitive. But the big thing for the Grizzlies is that this year, going into next year, and potentially the year after that, if the Grizzlies can maintain their certainty, if they can continue to play very effective basketball and rely on their depth, they could be put in a position to where if they could take care of business in the Southwest Division, it could really be a big boost to them being where they want to be in terms of the playoffs and being put in a successful position to where not only can they make the playoffs, but also make some noise when they get in the playoffs. Right now, the Grizzlies stand at 3-2 versus the Southwest Division. They played the Pelicans once and lost to them. They beat Houston twice, and they're 1-1 against the Mavericks. So they have three games left against the Pelicans this year, two versus Dallas, two versus Houston, and four starting tonight versus San Antonio. So the Grizzlies do have a winning record in the Southwest Division. If they can simply continue to play at a rate to where they have a winning record against the Southwest Division, the Grizzlies should have a very good opportunity to be able to clinch this division this year. But also, you've got the fact that right now, in terms of the pick odds, and I know it's early in the season, but you have Houston right now being third, you know, in the NBA draft lottery, rankings right now or positioning right now. That doesn't mean they're going to get the third pick. That means that they're going to have the third best odds to get the number one pick. But they're in the third spot right now. New Orleans is in the fifth. San Antonio is in the ninth. And Dallas is actually in the 15th spot currently when it comes to the upcoming 2022 draft. Those four teams are in the top 15 picks of the draft, which shows that the Southwest Division right now, after a decade of arguably being the best or most competitive division in the NBA, right now it certainly is in a point of transition. And again, you don't necessarily know if those transitions are going to be successful for the other four teams like they have been for the Grizzlies. Dallas obviously had plenty of turnover and turmoil in their front office this past offseason, and they've not taken advantage of being able to surround Luka Doncic with the needed supporting cast that he's needed, like the Grizzlies have Ja Morant or the Hawks have Trae Young. Obviously, San Antonio, they have a lot of intriguing talents, and DeJounte Murray, who's not going to be able to play tonight, he certainly is a potential all-star, but they don't have their franchise player like a Luka or a Zion or a Ja have it, and you don't know if the Spurs will find that franchise player at any point in time. It seems like that Houston is in the process of a multi-year rebuild where it's going to take time for them to really be competitive. And then, of course, in New Orleans, it's hard to really know what direction they're going to go. Yes, led by Jonas Valanciunas and others, they have certainly been playing better. But, of course, the ceiling for that team is Brandon Ingram and Zion, and you don't really know what Zion's going to do when he gets back. Is he going to be healthy for long stretches? Again, there's a lot of uncertainty around the Southwest Division right now. And the fact that the Grizzlies have established the fact that they have a lot of certainty about themselves not only is emerging as a reason why they have such a big lead in the division right now, but it could be a big key reason why they can continue to find success in the Southwest Division. And if they can continue to stay at the top of the division, again, it's going to do a very good thing for them when it comes to playoff positioning. And the big key is that the Grizzlies continue to play well against other teams in the division. And with where the other four teams are, the Grizzlies certainly should have the ability to do just that. So, in general, there's a lot of excitement. There's a very bright future when it comes to all the talents that are currently in the Southwest Division. But in terms of the near future, the Grizzlies, in my opinion, probably have the brightest future over the next 1 or 2 years at least, as these other teams either try to figure out or gain more certainty around their franchise, their best franchise talents, or trying to figure out who their franchise talent will be. It's up to the Grizzlies to take advantage of that, to really continue to fast forward their hopes of becoming a sustainable winner, which they certainly are right now, but maybe even a contender faster than many people may think, and we'll see how that goes. But again, it starts tonight, and for the Grizzlies on paper, they certainly seem to be a significantly better team than the Spurs. But if you look over the month of December, that's not the same tale, as the Spurs have had a very good month, thanks once again to the coaching of Greg Popovich, but also playing some excellent team basketball. We'll look at the game tonight in just a moment. But before we do that, listen, you have so many different things to end 2021 on when it comes to positives. Good fortunes, hopefully, good health, hopefully good financial decisions, whatever it may be, hopefully to the end of the closing of 2021 ends on a good note for all of us. 2022 starts on an even better note. But one thing that I can tell you certainly could make your day better, whether it's 2021, 2022, maybe even in the future, is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Have it in the morning for breakfast, have it in the afternoon as a snack. It's a very versatile treat. And if you go to Built.com right now, you'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bar by using the promo code Locked On. You can go to Built.com, put in the promo code Locked On, choose from over 18 different flavors when it comes to Built.com, as well as putting in the promo code Locked15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. The Grizzlies will have the weekend off, so they'll be able to celebrate the new year while getting a little bit of recharge and getting a little bit of rest, hopefully getting a few players back as well, perhaps. I'm not saying that there's, you know, any potential of that, but perhaps they could get a few players back since it's coming up on a week since DeAnthony Melton and Dylan Brooks entered health and safety protocol. But for you, hopefully that means you'll have a great weekend as well. But on Monday's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we're going to take a look at what's going to be a very interesting and very tough January schedule, starting with a big introduction to some key, you know, contenders out east with the new, with the Brooklyn Nets. I always want to say New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers opening the 2022 calendar year for the Grizzlies as their opponents in back-to-back games. That and much more on Monday's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So the Grizzlies welcome the Spurs to the FedEx Forum tonight, the first time that the Grizzlies have welcomed this or played the Spurs this season. And it's a bit ironic, right, that after Ja Morant's latest 40-point game, he's going to play against the team that he scored 40 against for the first time in his career a little over a year ago in the first game of the 2020-2021 season. And that's the thing about the Spurs and the Grizzlies. Last season, or this calendar year, the Grizzlies have had a lot of success against the Spurs, but the Spurs also can be a very competitive team. And a reason why is because right now of how well they're playing team basketball. Now, coming into this game, there's a bit of an advantage in multiple ways, actually, for both teams. So you look at the Grizzlies roster, and I think if you look at both rosters combined, the Grizzlies certainly have the better talent. You could probably say that of the two rosters combined, of the players that are playing tonight, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. not only have the highest ceilings of any of these players on the roster, you potentially can make a case for Keldon Johnson, perhaps, but also they're playing the best of any players on the roster right now in terms of offense and defense. You know, again, you probably can make an argument for a few Spurs players over Jaren with how Jaren has struggled as of late. But when it comes to individual talents, the Grizzlies have the advantage tonight. But the Spurs, in a rare occurrence, actually probably have the depth advantage when it comes to tonight's game versus the Grizzlies. Because again, with Tillman and Melton and Brooks and Conchar and Culver and now Shai Buchanan out, the Grizzlies are going to have to run out the same probably 7 to 8 bodies. And it's not the same quality of players with Melton and Brooks especially being out for the Grizzlies. So the Spurs are going to have the depth in place tonight. And that's a big key thing for this Spurs team, because right now they're playing some of the best team basketball that is being played in the NBA. Before Thanksgiving, the Spurs had were both in the bottom third of the league when it came to both offensive rating and defensive rating. Well, in the month of December, they have the fifth best net rating because they have the second best offensive rating. The Spurs, a lot like the Grizzlies in the recent past, they've been one of the least productive three-point shooting teams in the NBA. But for this month, they right now are fifth in the NBA when it comes to three-point percentage. And while the Grizzlies are at 11th entering last night's game, the Grizzlies also have been towards the bottom of the league over the past few games. So one advantage where the Spurs might be able to exploit a weakness in the Grizzlies right now is the ability for them to shoot the three. Bryn Forbes, as well as others, Doug McDermott, they have been very, very good from three. And so that's one area where you don't necessarily, you know, think that the Spurs would be a threat from three that much, but right now they certainly are. But the big key for the Spurs right now is team basketball. They are first in the NBA in assists this month. They are averaging over 30 assists per game in the month of December. You don't see that often. And along with that, they're committing the fourth fewest amount of turnovers per game. You're talking about a 30 assist to 12 turnover ratio per game. As a team, they have a 2.5 assist to turnover ratio. That's outstanding. And as a matter of fact, of the 12 players this month for the Spurs that have played in double-digit games, each one of those players has a positive plus or minus net rating. What that means is that no matter who is in the game for the Spurs, they are playing efficient basketball. No matter what lineup, they're playing efficient basketball and they're constantly making positive plays. So that depth advantage that the Spurs have, it truly is an advantage for the Spurs that the Grizzlies are going to have to overcome in this game. So the Grizzlies being able to shoot the three better as a team to support Bane and Morant, that's where it starts. The other thing is that the Grizzlies' ability to not beat themselves, not make mistakes, move the basketball themselves, find high-percentage shots, that's going to be critical for them tonight with how often the Spurs are doing that under the tutelage of Greg Popovich and playing together as a team. But as I mentioned in the first segment, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams, them controlling the boards, controlling the paint, being able to get out and defend when they need to, being a source of scoring, Jaren's ability for his shot to fall, Steven Adams having another double-digit effort because he's able to find his positioning, though Jakob Poeltl has been playing well. Steven Adams' ability to find his positioning down low to maybe get a few buckets on dump-offs or second-chance opportunities, those are going to be key for the Grizzlies as well tonight. So it's going to be a tough matchup. Again, you would love for the Grizzlies to be able to rely heavily on Ja and Desmond and hopefully Jaren, who's due for a breakout game. But with how well the Spurs have been playing basketball and just the general knowledge of Greg Popovich as well, you had better well bet that he's going to try to use Derek White, Keldon Johnson, and others to try to limit Morant and Bane as much as possible. And if that's what's going to happen, the Grizzlies are going to have to find someone else to step up. And you've got Kyle Anderson and Steven Adams who can do that outside of scoring. But when it comes to scoring itself, getting shots for Jaren Jackson Jr., getting good looks for Tyus Jones, even Killian Tilly, those are going to be a big key for the Grizzlies to be able to find success from three. Now, you don't want to force the three ball. At the end of the day, especially in tonight's game, the key for the Grizzlies is to find as many high percentage looks as possible, but mixing in, getting into the paint and scoring, which the Grizzlies should have a decent opportunity to do with their overall prowess of scoring in the paint. But if the Grizzlies need a game, if there's a game for the Grizzlies to work off that success to find open looks from three as well, it's tonight. So it's going to be a tough matchup. I do think that the Spurs' depth, especially when it comes to the non-starter minutes, it could be a problem for the Grizzlies tonight. But if Bane and Ja Morant are anywhere close to what they've played in the few games earlier this week, if they're anywhere close to that and the Grizzlies can hold their own in the non-starter minutes, I do like the Grizzlies' chances to win tonight's game. But it's certainly going to be a very, very tough matchup. And it's going to be a matchup where the Grizzlies have to play efficiently and effectively as much as possible to be able to earn the win. It's been a pleasure being with each and every one of you this 2021 calendar year, my first full year hosting the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, what I hope will be the start of many seasons being a part of the Locked On Network and, of course, your host here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Can't thank you enough for your support. I'm so glad that the Grizzlies have emerged as a true sustainable winner, that Ja Morant has emerged as a true superstar, and that we all get to not only enjoy it, but cherish it and interact about it here and other places. So thank you so much for all the support this year in 2021. And I expect 2022 for both myself, you, the podcast, and the Grizzlies to be even more special in terms of hopefully it being the best year yet for all of us. Hope your 2021 ends well. Please be safe. Please be healthy. Nothing but good luck and good fortune to each of you going into 2022. And we'll talk to you here again soon, hopefully celebrating another victory to end December and going into 2022. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have a great day.